On Sunday evenings, we're doing teaching through the book of Colossians. That's a good book. And tonight, what we'll be covering there is there's an inspired prayer. Paul is praying. Of course, when you have a prayer in the Bible, it's an inspired prayer. Excellent text. So I encourage you to come back and get the book of Colossians. I think the Lord will bless you if you would. Continue to pray for people. You might look around you and see somebody that used to be around you. It's not there. I try my best to keep track of folk. Now, I do. I try to be a good shepherd. But people sometimes drift under your radar, and you miss people. And it means a lot of times, too, give them a call, or if you notice that. We used to have card people. People would send cards and tell people that we miss them, and we do. And I encourage you to do things like that. It's a whole lot better when everybody, the whole church, keeps track of one another. Y'all think? I think that's a good thing to do. So pray for that. Also, wanted to mention this too. Online, back in 2004 and 2005, I preached through the whole Psalms. And you can imagine, that's 150 chapters, so that's a lot of. But I'm putting every bit of that on the internet. And I think I got 90 of them on there. And I encourage you to look at them at times. Great comforting text. In the Psalms, so you'd be sure to listen for that. Thank you for coming this morning. If you would, let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 1. I just don't know how this is going to go this morning. I always pray that the Lord would help me deliver a message that is understandable, and I always ask Him to give me the message that people need to hear, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. I always try to do that. And this is going to be a different message. I'm actually not real comfortable with it. I just don't know how it's going to turn out. Sometimes, I like to work a text, which is my easiest way to preach anymore. But this is going to be just a little bit different styled message. And I pray that the Lord would use this to bless your heart. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 29. And now let me give you another verse. And it would be 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. I'll let you look that up when you go home, if you promise me you'll look it up. But in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His name's sake." Now I want you to listen to what that verse just said. Philippians 1 and verse 29, For unto you it is given, like it's the greatest honor in the world, is what he's basically saying. When you read the book of Philippians, that was a church located in Macedonia. It was a good church. But the church as a whole was going through a great time of trial. And what Paul, in talking about these trials and these hardships that they were going through, he says it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only for you to believe in Him, or on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. All God's people said. Now you think about that just for a little bit. That's an amazing text. 1 Peter 4:19 has a similar text to that. You write that down, look it up as I've already said. We're going to title this message today, "A Ministry of Suffering." A Ministry of Suffering. We all have certain kinds of ministries that we have, but there is such a thing as a person having a ministry, but it's a ministry of suffering, meaning that they have some type of affliction or they have some type of great hardship that they're going through that God has permitted them to go through. And then what the Lord does, instead of removing that affliction away, He gives them the grace enough and the strength enough to hold up under it. Have you ever seen that before? Raise your right hand. He didn't take the affliction away. He left the affliction. And instead of taking it away, He strengthened up that child so that they could handle it. I've seen that happen. You say, "Well, Jeff, why does the Lord allow bad things happen to good people?" People say that all the time. Because God has a purpose for such a ministry as that. There is people that I know, and I'm going to mention some of them to you today, that have been in great times of suffering, and the Lord held them up all the way through it, and they were inspirations to other people. So this message title is The Ministry of Suffering. We're going to first of all look, I'm going to look at 2 points today. We're going to look at some Bible inspirational saints, And then we're going to look at some Elizabeth inspirational saints. That's saints that have been right here in our midst, that suffered greatly, but held up and served God right through the midst of the great trials that they faced. I find such people inspirational. This message title again is Ministers of Suffering. That's the title. No one wants to be a minister of suffering, but I tell you what, beloved, they can really be an inspiration to other people, and I've seen it happen over the years. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about some of the Bible inspirational people. And in the book of Job, you don't have to turn there. Everybody should here today know about Job. Job had a ministry of suffering. Y'all agree? I mean, he suffered much affliction in his life. The book of Job said he was the richest man of the East. And he had a large number of cattle, had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The Lord blessed him. And there was a meeting in the council of eternity past somewhere where the devil came in before the Lord, and they says, now, he had his eye on Job. I'll tell you what, the devil knows who God's people are. And hey, and for the devil, Job was public enemy number one. And what he told the Lord, he said, well, ain't no wonder he serves you. You've blessed him. You've made him rich. He's got a big family. You've blessed him on every hand. He said, but if you would allow me to touch him. He said, here's what God said. You put a hedge about him. And the word hedge means you put a fence around him. But if you let me touch him, he will curse you to your face. That's what he said. That's one text that lets you know that the devil doesn't know everything. He assumed if he would touch, he would afflict Job, and that's what he did. He afflicted him by, oh my. In the book of Job chapter 1, and let's go ahead and turn to Job. We ought to read a little bit anyhow, don't you think? Let's turn to the book of Job chapter 1. Let's read just a little bit, because I want to get this done in one shot today, if you don't care. I think we all need it. Job chapter 1. Yeah, what happened? Since Job was rich, if you had a lot of cattle, you was considered rich. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a big family. You was also considered rich. And I want you to notice what happened. This all happened in one day. And I also want you to notice another thing. In this text with regard to Job, Satan was powerless to touch Job. How many knows that? Would you raise your hand if you know it? He was powerless to touch Job without God's okay. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but that's just the way it is. Now, watch this now. It says, then Satan, let's look up in the text at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. By the way, the devil ain't in hell. He will be. Verse 7 shows you that he's walking to and fro in the earth. He's very active on the earth. And I want you to notice another thing. He knows who God's people are. He knows. I done a message one time. Does the devil know your name? I hope he does. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. Then Satan said, well, doth Job fear thee for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, that's a fence, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You put forth his hand now, you put forth your hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in. Look here. The Lord, see, he could not. Now, here's what I want you to see. He could not afflict Job without God's approval. I want you to know that. Satan is not as strong as God. That's the reason why when something happens in my life that I don't understand or that I consider bad, I throw that under God's sovereignty. I don't tell you the devil done that to me. I tell you God has done this to me for a purpose, and he has a reason for it. That's the way I look at it. I believe God's in that. I don't think God can do anything to me unless it is okayed by my God, and that's what I see right here. If you don't believe me, that's what I see in Job 1. He couldn't touch Job until God said okay. You say, well, Jeff, why would God say okay to something like that? Well, I think Job had a ministry of suffering. And I think whenever you're going through a hard time, an afflicted time, a sick time, I think one of the places you can go to in the Bible where someone knows what you're feeling is Job. And I think you can read the book of Job, especially the first two chapters, and draw a lot of strength from that. Here's a man of God that suffered. Here's a man of God that was afflicted. Not only did he lose, God permitted Satan to touch all that he had. Notice what it says in verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And there was a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them. The Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. And they were slain, the servants, with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell you. And you can go all the way down through that chapter. They got his sheep. They got his oxen. They lost all of his financial wealth. Financial wealth, Larry, in one day. It happened. Well, one servant was telling Job about something bad that happened to the sheep. There was somebody else standing waiting to come in and say, this is what happened to the rest of it, you know, basically. I want you to notice how this man of God replied. Naked came I, verse 21, out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. Listen now. I want you to see how he puts this under God's sovereignty, Eddie. He said, the Lord hath gave. Who gave God? Who gave Job all of his riches? God. He said, the Lord hath gave. Now, that's where you would stop at, most of you here today. You'd stop at that. Lord gave. Anything good, the Lord gave. But what else does he say, beloved? The Lord hath taken away. He didn't view that as the devil taking it all away. He viewed it as God taking it away. And I can handle it if God took it away. Because I realize if God allowed it to be took away, then God had a good purpose for it. All God's people say it. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Job had a ministry of suffering. He suffered greatly. When anybody's hurting, where do they go? They go to the book of Job, and they read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. And you can compare your situation to what Job went through, and many times they don't even compare. But God held him up. And I think the sole reason why you have the book of Job in your Bible is that Job is the minister to the suffering saint. I think that's what it is. He had a ministry of that. Okay? Job's responses brought great glory to the Lord. He never gave up. He never quit. He never gave in. But Job had a ministry of suffering. All God's people say it. The Apostle Paul is another man in the Bible that had a ministry of suffering. Now, beloved, I can't teach on all these men. All these are individual sermons. I'm just mentioning it. Everybody in the house knows that Job had a ministry of suffering. He loved the Lord. It wasn't because he sinned. It's because God had a purpose for allowing these afflictions into his life. And listen, any affliction that enters your life, here's what I wanted to tell you. God has a purpose for it. Now, I can't tell you, because sometimes people look at this old Baptist preacher and say, what in the world, Jeff, is this for? And I'll go, I don't know. I just know God's on his throne. And I know that Romans 8:28 is true. All things works together for the good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I know. Do y'all find Job inspirational? I mean, you can look at him and say, man, I ain't went nowhere. I haven't lost seven sons and three daughters on one day. I haven't experienced it. I wouldn't know how that would be. Some of you that have experienced the loss of a loved one, realize, especially a child, you realize how strong that would be. But seven sons and three daughters in one day? Can you imagine? Then, in chapter 2 of the book of Job, he gets afflicted with some kind of skin disease that would have affected the way that he looked. Because the reason why I say that is when Job's friends came to visit him in Job chapter 2, they looked at him and they didn't know who he was from a ways off. Didn't look like himself. Had some of this grievous skin disease, and his friends had come there to try to comfort him. They didn't get in trouble until they ran their mouth. Trying to say this happened, Job, because you sinned. It wasn't because Job sinned. It's because Job, as a ministry, would have a ministry to the suffering saint. His friends, it says, they came, they wept, they sat down, and they said nothing. I encourage you to practice that when someone's hurting. They came, they wept, they sat down, and they said nothing. People don't get themselves in trouble to try to start running their mouth or telling someone that's afflicted. Well, maybe you've done something. God has a purpose for everything he permits in the lives of his children. Does everybody in the house believe that? He has a purpose for everything he permits. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And let me tell you something while I'm on the subject. I can't always explain to you why it's for the good. But I'm also going to tell you that you don't got all the information yet. And I imagine one day that thing you're questioning the Lord over, when you get the glory and you ask the Lord about it, it'll all make perfect sense then. But until you get all the information, Eddie, here's what the Lord wants us to do. Does anybody know? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There's a lot of things that's happened in my life that I don't understand that don't make common sense. I don't know. I just trust him. I just trust him. And I know when I get the rest of the information, I know it'll make perfect sense. All God's people said. Job was a minister of suffering. Did y'all agree with me that he had a ministry of suffering? Would you like to have his ministry? I wouldn't have. I whine over a whole lot less. But God, here's what God did for Job. He propped him up. He kept him. He kept him. He propped him up. Let me give you another one. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. I might preach a little long today. I don't know. Y'all don't care, do you? I got something I want to say today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We all know the Apostle Paul. And did Paul suffer? Did the Apostle Paul go through suffering? Well, in his day, he's the greatest missionary that ever walked. Hey, not only in his day, he's the greatest missionary that ever walked this planet. He's a man of God, boy. He served the Lord still. He did. But you know what? He had an affliction too. God gave him the Bible says that God gave him a thorn in his flesh. Called it a minister of Satan to buffet him. Many thinks it was his eyesight was bad and he had to depend on other people. No one likes to have to depend on other people. I think that's what he had to do. And the purpose of that was to keep him humble. I want you to listen to what Paul suffered. Are y'all ready? This is a man of God. It says in verse 24. Let's back up verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11. As are they ministers of Christ? Speak I as a fool. I am more. Labors more abundant. Stripes above measure. In prison more frequent. In death often. Now listen to this. Here's a man of God. Greatest missionary ever walked this planet, I think. Here's what he went through. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes save one. Five times, Rick, he was beaten. That means they would have roped him to something and they beat him with 39 stripes. five times. Three times he was beaten with rods. That's eight beatings, the way I count it. Three times he was beaten with rods. Have you ever got beaten with rods? Think about it. It's eight beatings this man. Why did he go through this? Well, he was preaching the gospel. He's telling people about Jesus. And for Satan, Paul was public enemy number one. And you say, well, why did God not keep him from getting beaten? Because Paul considered suffering and persecution for the cause of Christ as being a great honor. All God's people see it. Used to cost when you, and in other parts of the world it still does. You knew if you trusted Jesus, you knew you was going to have to be dedicated, because if you got in, you're going to be persecuted. Paul had a ministry of suffering. Three times he was beaten with rods. Watch this, I ain't done. Once he was stoned. That was in Lystra. L-Y-S-T-R-A. That's where Timothy was from. They stoned him to death. They said, well, they didn't stone him to death. Well, they thought he was dead. They stoned him, and he fell in the street. He was in the middle of the road, and they rocked him till he would just knocked him out, and he left him for dead. You know what he did? He got up and went back in the city. He went back in. Now, don't you think he was swollen and beaten? He went back in anyway. This kind of man he was. He was a minister of what? Somebody tell me. Suffering. He was a minister of suffering. He went through all these days. He went through shipwreck, night and day. He was in the deep. It says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. Jews tried to kill him all the time. In perils of the heathen, that's the Gentiles, Romans. They arrested him. In perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting, and in cold and nakedness. And he said, not only that, but all the care from all the churches that comes on me. That's what he went through. He didn't have an easy ministry. Do y'all agree? He didn't have an easy ministry. He went through beatings and shipwrecks and put in jail and But he was a, do y'all think Paul's an inspiration? Man, he's an inspiration to suffering saints. Job was an inspiration to suffering saints. Well, those are just two examples of Bible inspirations. What I'm going to do now, the time I got left, I'm going to talk about some Elizabeth inspirations. Now, I will miss somebody. That's why preachers usually never do what I'm getting ready to do. You always miss somebody. I'm going to present to you a few inspirations here that I know of, and I'm going to miss some. Does everybody agree with me? And that's not on purpose. It's just not on purpose. Because there's so many you could pick. Just so many you could pick. Well, the first one I'm going to tell you about is, and I've talked about this one often, and he had a ministry of suffering, and that was Steve Ruby, Brother Steve Ruby, and he worked with me at Hex, and I loved him. He showed up on a Sunday morning and sat all the way to the back, in the back on the right-hand side, and I come up here, and I started getting their things ready to do the morning meeting, and I thought, well, who in the world is that? So I always try to greet people. By the way, while I'm on the subject, greet people, would you? It just don't have to be me does that. People like for you to tell them their name and shake their hand. Do that. Everybody can do that. Say, what can I do? Be a greeter. You don't have to stand at the door. Just get out of that pew. We're not stuck to them. And just say, man, tell them what your name is. Tell them you're glad they're here. That makes a great deal of difference. Anyhow, I seen him back there. I said, there's somebody new. I better go back here and introduce. So here back here I went. And I got up to him and I thought, Ruby, what are you doing here? And I didn't know who he was because he had had cancer. He's horribly sick. And I worked up Peck's. I was a preacher then too. And I used to witness to him and things. He told me that the Lord had saved him and he'd been saved, you know. But I remember not knowing who he was from a distance because of what he had. Here's what this inspiration said to me one day. And back there, I was on the foyer talking to him. He said this. He said, "Jeff, I know that if Jesus desired, he could heal me." That's what he told me. But he said, "I want to tell you something else. I'm happy." He was. Ruby's was one of the happiest sick men I ever seen in my life. He said, "I'm happy." He said, "I think that's a greater miracle than if God had healed me. What do you think?" I think it is, man. He was happy, talked. He said, he was inspirational. Y'all agree? That's inspirational. I look at him and I seen the affliction, and I'd go see him in the hospital, and he was so afflicted with the disease that he had, and I looked at him and I thought, oh my goodness, how inspirational. Sister Linda Scantlin had mesothelioma cancer. She was very afflicted. It was a horrible disease. She fought that for a number of years and numbers of time. But on her deathbed, and it afflicted her lungs and things, because I never have understood. Well, I guess I do understand it. I never understood where she had hardly air to talk. Much less air to sing. Just didn't think she had it. So I come in, and I was there, and Debbie's there, and all the kids was there, and she's sitting there in a chair, afflicted with that. That old cancer was just kind of draining out of her, too, her feet and things. And I just thought, oh, man, it about killed me. She liked Debbie better than me, and I never did understand that. But she liked Debbie better than me, and she reached both her hands, and she got a hold of Debbie. She didn't reach for me. She reached for Debbie, and she poured her right down in her face. And she couldn't hardly talk. I didn't think she could, but here's how she said it. She said, "Tired. Home." Then she smiled. "Glory." That's what she did. And still, she ripped off a song there. She started singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." Sung the first and the last verse of it. And then sung, "What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see." And I look at, and just, I've never seen anything like it. I was chilled. I didn't know what to say. I know that I've seen something I never saw before. God gave her grace to do that. One of my fondest memories, one of her family's fondest memories. Big Al, he calls me. I don't call Big Al because I don't want to bother him. I know he goes out, and now he's going out to treatments every day. He goes to Kanawha City, comes back every day, every day. There's Big Al, every day. Well, when he feels like, he calls. He said, "Jeff, how you doing? Ain't the Lord good?" And they start talking about the Lord, and Big Al's happy. That just blows my mind. How could somebody that goes to treatment every day in Kanawha City for his cancer, and how can anybody be happy in that kind of shape? Well, that's grace. That's what God can do. He can give you grace to hold up in a circumstance that's not possible for you to hold up under. God gives grace. Big Al, I've called him that so long, I can't stop calling him that, so I just give up on him. But he's one of the most kindest, loving Christian men that I've ever seen in my life. He cares about people. Not only Billy. Have you ever seen anything like him? He don't call anything. He'll call and say, "Jeff, I'm calling to check on you. Are you doing all right?" Man with cancer. I find that inspirational. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? My Aunt Linda, when I talked to her down at the house one day, she said, "Now, Jeff, I said, if God gets glory from this, it's all worth it." The big smile. That's Aunt Linda. Who says things like that? People that God gives grace to. They had a ministry of suffering. Aunt Linda was a great teacher and a great member of this church. But she served God also in suffering. That's the strongest, that's the strongest saints they are that does that. My pop, we went to the, Mama Arthur used to say, if somebody lived a long time, she said, I guess they'll have to knock them in the head on judgment day. That's what Mama always said that. Remember her saying things like that? Old divers would say things like that. That's what I told Pop. I said, I guess they're going to have to knock you in the head on judgment day, Pop. You just keep popping. This last time, Pop's had this affliction with his kidneys about 6-7 years. Do y'all realize it's been that long? Pop's happy. Have you ever seen anybody take dialysis that's happy? Very few you'll see that's happy taking dialysis. Pop's happy. He is. He's glad to be alive and glad to have another day. He has his times like anybody has their times, but the Lord has given him a grace to be able to stand that. I go in there and he's laying on that gurney for 3 and 4 hours, you know. This time he almost died, though. That fistula busted. He lost 2 pints of blood. I thought he was gone. They're right there. I'm putting him in the car and taking him to Dallas for 3 days a week. He can walk. But he keeps on serving. You know what he wants to get back to, right? Yeah, hardest thing in the world to keep him home. He don't need to be getting around anybody who got the flu right now. You see what I mean? But try to do that. If he could drive right now, he can't. He'd be here. We had to keep, tied the keys and or do something, but he'd be here. He'd be here. I find that what? Inspirational. I surely do. That's going to mention a few more and we'll stop. I can't mention everybody. Brother Jim, don't you get mad at me now. I'll run after the services. I find you inspirational. And everybody here does. All God's people see. Amen. Cancer, been sick a long time. And he's happy. All God's people see. Brother Coy Music, I find him inspirational. He just went off to be with the Lord, hadn't he? Gosh, I'll miss him. Girls, made my day seeing y'all here today. And you too, by the way, guy. That'd make him feel good knowing y'all sitting in his seat. So, Coy's in a better seat now. Everybody agree? He's sitting in a better seat than you are, but he would that would tickle him. Coy was one of the best church members we ever had. He loved the Lord, and he went through a lot of hard times and kept right on rolling, kept right on praying, kept right on praising, kept right on coming to church. He worked hard on old Rob right there, didn't he? He worked hard on Robbie, boy. I tell you, he was all over him. He watched after him. He wanted to see him saved. And guess what? He got to see. He got to see Rob saved and baptized. All God's people saved. These are all people that are inspirational. Bill Moore. I just can't name them all. I'm getting ready to quit because I got so many. But Bill Moore. Me and Eddie went down. When he had to go to... He had to go to Health South, brother. He had to go down there. And I had to have some rehabilitation or something. I took Eddie with me, and I thought, well, I bet he'll be really down. That was a mistake. Here he come on that wheelchair about 90 miles an hour, and he said, oh, my. I guess he witnessed everybody there. He got to talk to people about the Lord. And you remember? He said, oh, I've got to tell this person over here about Jesus, and I've got to pray with this lady over here. And he just never quit serving. He just figured God had him there for a reason. And he just let her roll. I would be sitting in her bed crying because I'm there. He didn't have time for that. Too much opportunity to serve. You see, all these people I've mentioned, and even the people that I haven't got to mention, were all inspirational people. Touched people's lives, and they had a ministry of suffering. As I said at the beginning, nobody wants to have a ministry such as that. And I'm sure that you're here today and you know somebody in your life that's saved that never quit and kept serving even in their hard times. And what happens in those times is God gives them grace to hold up. And you'll look at it and you'll think, how in the world are they able to do that? How can they do that? They're inspirational people. Oh, my. Some of the statements that I've heard from people are so great with regard to salvation and regard to the strength that they have in Christ. When the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, does everybody in the house believe that? Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it in the eyes of all these people that I've mentioned to you, and even for the people that I failed to mention. I think about Jim Phillips all the time, and he's the toughest white man I've ever seen. He was tougher than nails. Never missed. Brought his Bible, full of trails of blood. Remember Jay Bird, full of trails of blood and things. He'd stop over and talk to you every now and then, wouldn't he, Jack? Yeah. Jim, Uncle Jim didn't have no filter. He just told you. And that's what Jack needed. That's what other people, hey, you need to get off that porch and get over here and go to church. That's what he'd do. I wouldn't have done that for nothing, but Jim did for Jack. And you know why he did it? Because he cared for his soul. Back there he is sitting. All these people are an inspiration. And the people that I missed are inspirational. And there's people sitting here today that are inspirational. They're good examples. They never quit. They never give in. They never give up. I'm going to tell you in closing, God has never promised you that in this life you will have no tribulations. Does everybody in the house know that? As a matter of fact, he did say in this world you'll have tribulations. But he's promised to be with you through whatever you face, whatever hardship you face, whatever trial you face, whatever it might be. He'll give you the strength to hold up. And I'm looking back here now at people that I know have went through things, and God holds them up. And they're ministers of suffering. Billy Gillespie, remember him coming to church in here and had all of them, when he was going through that chemotherapy, remember him having all them tubes and things in him? Mommy Gillespie carrying that oxygen bottle behind him because she didn't want to ever miss church. All these things, so many people. Well, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And.